Okay, so Kenyan number one. As we're going to discuss Kenyan number one, and everything that we have is all, it's all talking about it. I'm going to try to keep on going. Kenyan number one is called Talmud. Again, one out of 48. We're talking about Kenyanim of Torah. Now, the question is that I saw in many Sfarim that Kenyan is Talmud. What does Talmud mean? Talmud means learning. Now, we're talking about Kenyan for Torah. Can you imagine getting Torah without learning Torah? That it's like sort of like it is the famous Vart from the Chafetz Chaim. I'm sure you know this Vart. There's a Vart from the Chafetz Chaim that we daven every day, Avarabba, Avtanu, and we daven that Hashem should give us the Vahara Einenu B'Sarasecha. Hashem should enlighten us with Torah, and we should, and before we say that we should learn the Torah, we should know the Torah, make the Torah part of us, and we should all feel the Torah and everything all about Torah, and then we don't come, and we don't come through. In other words, we ask for Torah. Hashem says, "Here, take it, keep the Torah," and then what do? You know what we do? We don't even go learn it. So of course you're not going to get it by not learning. Sam, you know the mashal, the famous mashal. Someone needed money, and he was in a hard place, and he went to Gvir, and he says, "I don't have money here. Come to my house at a specific time." You know that story? No, you heard that? So he said, "Come to my house. Come knock on my door at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm waiting for you, and I'll give you $100,000 to marry off your kid, to start all over, and to start whatever." So this poor person is so excited, and he said, "Okay, I'll see you then." At 10 o'clock, the rich person went back to his house. He's waiting for him, waiting for 10 o'clock, 10:15, 10:30, 11 o'clock. He's not there. Okay, so he went back to his busy day. And a few hours later, this guy meets him on the street, and he gives him a whole story, how he's making a chasana and someone's sick and whatever, and he's the money and blah, 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 the whole story. And he says, "I don't need any money. You think you lend me money?" He says, "Listen, I told you yesterday, I'll wait for you. I was waiting for you. You didn't come." He said, no, I'm sorry. I didn't come. I need money." Okay, he said, "Okay, come 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I'll give you the money." Same thing happens. He's sitting there at 10 o'clock waiting, 10:15, 10:30, he leaves. And he's not doing it. The third time, he met him that day, and he gave him the whole story again. He said, "You forget it. I don't care about you. I'm not giving you no money. I'm not waiting for you. I would love to give you the money. I wanted to help you. You don't want to take it." Says Hashem that if you're asking for Torah, you want Torah, but you didn't come. Go to this medrash, sit down, learn. Don't talk about other things. Don't think about other things, and actually learn. And then you'll get to know. You asked me, I should give you Siyata D'Shmaya. I'm giving you Siyata D'Shmaya. I opened all the gates in Shemaya that you should understand today. And today you didn't learn. So that's the question. The question is, how could Talmud be a way of being kind of Torah? It's obvious. It's like buying a car and saying it doesn't work because you didn't go in the car and drive it. You didn't turn the key or didn't press the button. But of course it's not going to work. So
I saw two questions. Someone, for example, like Reb Chaim, right? Reb Chaim probably acquired all of Torah. I'm saying,
but he doesn't think so.
As we know that Torah, there's never an end. There's
right.
constantly more. So it's impossible to know everything. Even they say about the villain going, he knew everything.
And he never stopped learning. Right.
But there's still more that he could have learned. Right. And there's obviously still more that he could learn. And obviously he didn't finish it. There's never a finish.
Right. Right.
So there's no way, it's impossible to be.
So our job, so this is very important. It's very, very important in life and in what's called. Our job is not to finish. Hashem doesn't want us, we can't finish. You can't finish. She talks about all the gedolim, how they looked at their rabbeim, that they knew like, and they only know. It says on one of the people in the Gemara of Yochanan Zakkai, that he only knew a tipa min hayam of what his rabbi knew, a tipa min hayam, And then it says how much he knew everything, so much more than anyone can imagine. But that's because there's so much. It's an amazing thing. We want to know how is it possible to know more than Reb Chaim? Reb Chaim doesn't have a tzad that he knows anywhere near the amount his father knew. Right? And his father his father doesn't think he knew anywhere near the amount of Chaim knew. Like Reb Chaim, like it's no, but you can't, and that's just like the generation before. And how about 50 generations before or 5 generations before? We talk about people. That's not what we're supposed to do. Our job is to know as much as we're put on the world to know. And that is constant, always doing it. Now, so that's really the answer that the main answer that I saw, that you have to know that Talmud is not, learning is not just, okay, I'll try to figure it out. There are no other ways. This is what I saw. It's not going asking brachas. It's not segulas. It's not certain tricks where there's no pills or anything. You know, like everyone always says that if, I think it even, it comes, starts in the Vilna Gaon, that if I would be able to one night just be able to take a pill, that I would know the Kol HaTorah Kula, I would do in a second. I'll pay millions of dollars to be able to know it. But to learn this Gemara right now, oh, I can't do that. You know why? Because they're not willing to work for it. There's no tricks. It's just that, you know, all the Gedolim of Shach starts, you know, I remember people I don't think I ever did this, but I remember people going to Shach and saying to and asking for bracha in to become a Talmud Chacham, to learn and whatever. So Shach says there's no brachas for learning. You want a bracha for learning? Let me tell you the biggest bracha for learning. Learn. All you gotta do, just learn. Just do it. Do it on your own. I have over here brought down that Shach says, I never found a better trick for getting better in Torah and Yiras Shamayim than learning Bitoy Chasmada. Learning Bitoy Chasmada helps you in Torah. That's the only way you're going to get it. And that's Yiras Shamayim. That's where we pick up Yiras Shamayim. People think that there's two parts. I mean, it's true. You're going to have to dive in and all kinds of other things also to pick up Yiras Shamayim. But the real people, the real Yiras Shamayim, are the people that are Talmidei Chachamim. That are big Talmidei Chachamim, and they don't stop learning. Nothing is better than being totally focused. That you're not. We're gonna try to go through different cases. I have so many different stories. Obviously, I'm not gonna say them all, but very very interesting. That's the first answer. Maybe later I'll give you another answer of like what's shot in Talmud, but. It says like this: there's someone, Reb Mordechai Shulman. I don't know if you ever heard his name. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Slabodka in Eretz Yisrael. He was by the Chafetz Chaim. He probably learned, I don't know if he learned in Slabodka or not, but he was by the Chafetz Chaim. And he said, you know, everyone talks about the Chafetz Chaim, like all the Nisim and everything that he did. He said the biggest moifis of the Chafetz Chaim was his Hasmada. To be able to see someone so focused and just do what he's doing for so much and so long, that was the biggest mifus. And that's backed by something I saw in a different sefer that it said that the Chazanish said over. There was a famous story in Europe. I don't know if it maybe came to Rad, and it was a neighbor sitting next to Rad, and there was a D-book. And the Chafetz Chaim got 10 or 8, 9 of his Talmidim, and the Chafetz Chaim took the D-book out. He got the D-book to go out. They were able to talk to the D-book. There's a lot of very interesting stories about it. But supposedly, the Bacharim over there asked the D-book if they heard of the Chafetz Chaim. They were trying to convince the D-book to leave, and the Chafetz Chaim was telling them to leave, so they asked, "Did you hear of the Chafetz Chaim in Shemayim?" So we don't understand. The books don't get scared, don't get spooky, whatever it is. Hear of the Chafetz Chaim? They asked the Chafetz Chaim, "What in Shemayim is the?" And they asked the Dibuk, "I'm sorry, what in Shemayim is the are they machshir the Chafetz Chaim for? Now Shmir Saloshin, he changed the whole world. He's the biggest tzaddik you've ever seen, and we know so much about the Chafetz Chaim. Like, you know, he changed. It's amazing. He held himself as a nothing, and he's the one person. I think that for sure in the past 200 years, probably that he's so used. Every house, every talks about Shmir Saloshin, Mishnah Berurah. Does anyone do anything without Mishnah Berurah? Is there a Jewish house that doesn't have, I mean, maybe not have, but whatever. Everyone works in Mishnah Berurah. And there's no such thing. There's no place. There's no nothing. You can't be a firm Jew without Mishnah Berurah. And that was the Chafetz Chaim. Like, everything is from him. And he was the leader of Klal Yisrael at that point. He said, they're machshiv in Shemayim, the Chafetz Chaim, because of his Hasman. Hello? Because of his Hasman. What is the special cause for us? It's so, what's the word? It's very comforting, because we always hear all the time that, you know, it's not about how much you learn, it's about how much you try, and we don't really believe it. But when you hear that the Dibur came from upstairs, and this is what he's saying about the Chafetz Chaim, so like we always say, we can't be a Chafetz Chaim. I know, but what was the Chafetz Chaim chashuv for? He was chashuv for being a masmid, if that's what he's chashuv for, so then we can relate to that. Even though the Chafetz Chaim was not long ago, you have to understand, most of us, not you, but maybe you. I'm trying to think. 20 years ago, most of us, I think, met someone who for sure was around during the time of the Chafetz Chaim, or maybe even saw the Chafetz Chaim. I met many people that saw the Chafetz Chaim. For sure it was around. Chafetz Chaim was nifter 90 years ago. Right? You met someone that was 80 years old that knew what was going on then? Anyone that you met, if you met someone 10 years ago, 80 years old, he was around during the Chafetz Chaim's time. And he was
Any survivor
basically was around then. They all know about it. They lived in the times of Chafetz Chaim. It's not so long ago. That's not a long time. And the Chafetz Chaim, whatever, we feel the Chafetz Chaim is like,
you know, Rabbi Yashiv.
What? Yeah? Yeah,
for sure. Yashiv was around when Chafetz Chaim, he came from Europe, no?
For sure, there's a story with Chafetz Chaim and Eliashiv. There's a story. He was a little kid because he came very, very young to Eretz Yisrael. But, you know.
And there's a story with Moshe and Chafetz Chaim. There's a bunch of stories. There's a story with
Chafetz Chaim. Yeah, Shimon Schwab was, okay, right. I don't remember. I was lucky to see Shimon Schwab. But whatever, I'm saying,
I don't know. Someone said that I'm starting to learn his sefer on
who's?
I'm starting to learn a Schwab on
awesome.
Prayer.
Wow, gorgeous.
So someone, great. I don't know who said, someone
not easy,
told me,
but it's real.
It's not easy. So someone told me that they said that Gadol said that the reason why America's holding up is because of Schwab.
Okay.
I don't remember who said. Someone told me that in the name of a god.
Well,
like,
I'll let it go because I don't know. I'm not the one to say these things. I don't know.
I heard it. I don't know if it's true or not. I thought maybe Rabbi would know.
Yeah.
But Hasmada also means. I mean, does that mean like the tshuva, the Chazon Ish, that like, oh, if you learn 2 hours in a straight? Or
okay. So that really, I wanted to say that over tomorrow, but there's another Chazon Ish that really discusses what Hasmada is. That you see, that Chazon Ish is talking about hours and how to build your enjoyment in Torah. That I want to talk about tomorrow, maybe. But today's thing is just focusing on what you're doing. They say like this. The Stipler said that you know, he said about himself. It's the Sefer that it was wrote Pnine Kilos Yaakov. And he talks about different things about himself over there. And he said that he had enough tzaros from Tzar Gidol Banim and all kinds of other tzaros to split between 100 people. And he was still able to learn. And the way he did it, he said there was two things that he needed to be able to do it. One thing is you have to be able to just get out of it. Don't think about other things. and together with davening and bitachon in Hashem. Those are two parts. One is get yourself out of it. All that comes with understanding how important Torah is, but you have to be able to get yourself out of it. They said from Rav Shach. Rav Shach had the whole Klal Yisrael. I can remember it even, that Rav Shach was the leader in Klal Yisrael. And it was a lot of hard times. There was a lot of politics. The politics with the Sfaradim, there was politics with the Hasidim, with the Aguda and Degel. And he was over 90 years old is when it all happened. There was a lot, and there was obviously Chabad, and whatever. There was a lot. It was a lot. He started a party, he started Degel when he was well over 90, and it's something that's still continuing until today. It's a crazy thing, and he was able to. They asked him, "How can you do that and still stay focused on learning when he was totally focused?" He said that the Yisrael is, you have to know. This is something that said a lot to me. Nothing is important, or nothing is more important than what I am doing now. Right now, I'm not supposed to worry about that. I have to do this. The Esther of Chatzkel Abramsky, I don't know if you know who Chatzkel Abramsky is. You heard of Chatzkel Abramsky. Chatzkel Abramsky is,
he was from England, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, no?
He was from England, yeah.
Came to Eretz Yisrael, he learned in the mirror or something, no? He was like part of the mirror,
he was in Siberia. No, I don't think so. Maybe. He was in Siberia, and it's a famous story with him and the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was davening from all the time. One time on Shabbos, the Chafetz Chaim got very happy, and they couldn't forget why. They said they just left Chatzkel out of Siberia. We don't know how that happened. Anyways, he was big then. He was big then in those times. And he was, I would say he was nifter probably around 30 years ago. No, something like that, around 30 years ago. So there was someone who's getting married and who had no way of supporting himself. And he was a chash of a bachar, and he liked learning. And he went to Chatzkel, and he said to Chatzkel, I don't know. I'm gonna have to work. How am I gonna learn? What's gonna be? It's gonna be very hard. I have so many worries and so many things. How am I gonna learn? Reb Chatzkel said, I want to tell you something. You have to know always to learn without preparation. Everyone, you know, before you learn, you have to set this up. Make sure your stand is right. Make sure everyone's there. Make sure no one's bothering me. Make sure you have your coffee. Make sure that the best manager is good. Make sure that when you finish learning, everything is going to be in the way you want it.
Coffee from Super Seder.
Work that way. Okay. I hold that people who want to be mocked, that you use that kind of whatever. Mocked, I'm not having any hand on the world to get that. So if that's the way you're gonna do it, I saw that there's this. I think it came maybe from Rabbi Yashiv. I don't know where it was. They said like this. How could it be that we have two bachurim in the same yeshiva, and one really, really does well, really succeeds, and one doesn't succeed? With both of them learning the same sechta, they're both putting the same amount of time into it, and it seems like one is getting it, one knows it, another one doesn't know it as well. Okay, so you're going to tell me one's smarter, one's not smarter. We're talking when that's not the answer. They don't have a higher IQ. Then okay, one is more, is getting it better, and one's not. And it looks like they're both trying. So I forgot who it was. He said, let me tell you. Oh, I know where I saw it. I saw it in Shalom Shladron. He said it over from a Leib Chasman. Oh, I forgot. I didn't even write it down. But Shalom Shladron said over. And he said the pshat is, let me tell you exactly what the pshat is. That they both came into the Zman, and they both want to learn whatever they're learning Kedushin. They both want to learn Kedushin, and they're both learning Kedushin. But one of them is thinking about now that he wants to learn Kedushin, and one of them is thinking about what's going to be at the end of this month when he goes home. But they're sitting and learning the whole time. Both of them are serious about their learning. The question is, are you in it or are you out of it? Are you thinking about what's for lunch, or are you thinking about now? that you have to be able to get everything off your mind. I'm not, again, this is not something that I'm talking to you, and I'm not talking about whatever. It's something that I know this. I know this is right, and I know this is how you have to be. If you're always thinking about the next step, you're never going to do this step. It's in life. It's that way. That's the holy side of life, and I think it's much, much more so when you're talking about learning. When you're talking about learning, because learning is just using your mind. If you have your mind a little bit on something else, so you already lose your ability to do right the thing that we're trying to do right. So let me see. There's a whole bunch more. I just want to try to get something. Oh, I have a great story. You're gonna love this story. Listen to the story. Shmuel Birnbaum, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, when they were coming, he was known as the Masmid. And it's interesting because the people that knew him from in Mirstel didn't think that he was going to be like one of the Gedolei Hadar, because he wasn't like that, but he was a tremendous Masmid. He was always a Masmid. No one's going to. So anyways, he was a Masmid. When they came, he was in Mir, and they went to Shanghai. They were there for 5 years. Afterwards, what happened is the boat came from the other side, and they landed in California. Okay, the boat came to California. Then they traveled. I'm not sure. I think it might have been by boat even around America, or maybe they went by train to New York. So when they came there, I guess. When they came to the coast of California, they saw the Golden Gate Bridge. And that was the first part of America they saw, and it's an amazing thing, especially people from people that were coming from Europe, whatever. They never saw anything like the Golden Gate Bridge, right? So they saw the Golden Bridge, and everyone went out to see. Wow, this is Gadol Sabur. It's an amazing thing, Golden Gate Bridge. So like everyone's looking, Gadol Sabur, look what they're able to do. It's such a beautiful thing. So they went. They were trying to convince Shmuel Birnbaum. He was down on the bottom of the boat. To listen, it's a once in a lifetime thing. You're gonna see the Golden Gate Bridge. So how long is it gonna take? Just come up for a second and take a look at the Golden Gate Bridge. And then you'll see it's such a beautiful thing. And you're never going to get to see this again. You'll have to stop for a minute. That's what a friend of his told him. So Shmuel says such a beautiful word. And this is like so much is here to help you that when you have other things on your mind, it's hard to learn Torah. It's hard to focus. Says of Shmuel, you're right. It's the only time I'm going to get to see the Golden Gate Bridge. It might be a once in a lifetime. And I don't know if you're ever able to see it before, afterwards. It might be once in a lifetime. But it's also once in a lifetime for me to learn, even though I haven't time to see the Golden Gate Bridge. You hear that? It says my internet's not stable. You hear that? It's the only time I'm able to go against that taiva of wanting to see it. So right now you have something else on your mind that you really could, should, supposed to take care of, right? And you could stop learning right now and take care of it, or you can think about it, what's going to be afterwards, how am I going to take care, I'll make sure you finish on time to have to do it, or you could say, no, this is very important, but even so, my learning is more important, and I'm going to make sure that is done right, and stopping in the middle to do it is basically stopping your hasmada. That is being a masmid. Being a masmid is what I'm doing, do right. I remember, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but when I was a Talmud by in the Mir, let's say for over 3 years, 3.5 years, I came back. Whatever. Someone said that they knew Rav Asher Arieli's Rebbetzin, and this is what she said. Said, listen, you have to know how to take it. I'm not gonna say it exact, okay? He said that the key to Rav Asher is not the hours that he spends, the extra hours that he spends learning. That's not what he's all about. He doesn't stay up so late at night and things like that. That's not what makes him. What makes him is that when he's learning, he's learning. He never misses his time. I've been watching him for, I could say now, for tens and tens of years. And he's just so, he does his thing. He's always on time. He's always there. He's always doing his thing. He's, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, this is what I'm doing. It's true, there's other things I could, should, would be doing. But there's nothing more important than doing what's right is right. And that, and then hopefully tomorrow we'll have to see that the school of Hashem helps you. And once you do that, Hashem helps you focus and Hashem helps you get further. And then there's different things. There actually is so much more. I should just say one more beautiful verse. It says, in Bechukosai Telechu, and it's if we go in the, and the famous Rashi says that you should be Amelim B'Torah. You do everything Hashem wants. It means you're going, being Amal B'Torah. So I saw a beautiful question. I forgot the name of the Sefer, but a gorgeous question. That why does it say Telechu? Telechu means walk. You're talking about learning Torah. Why does it say run? It should say run. Why is it saying walking? So the answer is, because it's true, running is faster than walking. You will get further when you run than when you walk. But you know what happens when you run? You have to stop. You can't just run all the time. You run and then you stop. And then you run and stop. If you're going to learn Torah and you're going to stop, you might not start again. You have to be continuous, constant, never stop. Torah is something that goes on forever and ever, and never, we should do whatever we can, never to stop. Now, of course, we're going to stop. We also have to figure out how your whole day is going to be learning. You can't be the whole day learning because you have to do other things. It's true, but that's not taking away from learning when you're doing what you have to do. If this is what you have to do, then you have to. We're talking about the time that's set for learning, doing it right. Have a wonderful day.